Welcome to Maker Conversations. I'm your host, Tiff Marchand from Knight Carver Designs, and the show is back. I took a nice 1 month break and it was much needed. I am really excited to share with you this episode. It's a long one, definitely a headphones one if you have family around, because I believe there was a lot of F-bombs. I mean, we did have a captain on. So get ready, put those headphones on, and enjoy the show with Terry from Seven Trees, who is extremely talented, and I was excited to sit down and get to know her, with Morgan from Captain's Plank, and I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, well, I'm excited to hang out with Terry. I have, I feel like she's been around a lot longer than she has, but it's only been like a year and a half, but I'm like, what?
Really?
That's what I said on her thing, but I don't know. Maybe I'd scrolled wrong. I feel bad because she's waiting, and I kind of want to like stalk on my computer real quick because it's on my phone.
Should we stalk while she waits?
Yeah, we're making her wait for 1 second. Okay, sorry, Terry. Stop. But I was like, there's no way she's only been around that little.
Yeah. It seems about right, but she grew fast.
Yeah, like extremely fast.
She's very talented.
We know about the years of sitting down there in Lowe's, not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, we it wasn't that quick, and then when it grew, it grew.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it says April 26, 2021, but I guess so. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna let her in. She has no idea you're here.
Let her in.
That's how I like it.
Yeah, sneak attack.
T-Money.
T-Money's in the house.
What?
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. What's up? Wow, you are high quality camera. You look good, girl.
Her skin is glowing.
Yeah, you are.
So I don't know. I was like, is there a filter on this thing? It looks kind of filtered, right?
No,
there, you know, maybe Zoom does it. I don't know. You know, our phones do it to us all day anyways. You make you look so much better. And then you look in the mirror and you're like, oh,
I do that on FaceTime.
The one where it flips your face so you could see your face like in a different, a mirror version, but not your selfie version. That one trips me up.
The filter's gone at that point.
Yeah. I'm like,
oh, there I am. Well, welcome. Obviously, we have Morgan here to join me to hang out with you today. I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
No, she asked me and I'm like, of course, I love Terry. I'm like, come on.
Hello.
Look
at that.
What are the
For chances? Those that can't see, she's got one of Morgan's hair sticks that she carves. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Those are so good to have in the shop.
Well, I mean, you know that I take it with me everywhere, right? Like, you should know by now that it's like my safe whenever I'm like walking.
I do it too.
See, not only a hair accessory, but also a safety device.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I wonder if it's a California thing though, because I've told other people this from like, you know, the South or the Midwest and stuff, and they're all, what? And then California people are like, oh, I carry it like I'm gonna stab someone. Jesus.
It's just very normal, right? There's no other way to hold it.
Yeah, well, that's good.
We also don't have a tendency to like talk. The thing is, I think like I see you, I've never really like talked to you a whole lot, but it's so easy for us to flow together. Mm-hmm. But in real life, when people try to talk to me, it just becomes the weirdest thing. And anytime I get all bajiggity about talking, I think that it's other people out. Like, they're like, wait, you don't know how to have a conversation with people. And I think that's also a California thing.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
You're better digitally than in person.
I think
I carry a good conversation, but I'm super awkward the whole time. I'm feeling awkward. I'm not feeling like I'm in person. I'm like, oh yeah, hi. I'm asking generic questions and shit, but I'm all bajiggity too.
It's nice though. Like podcast format, hanging out on Zoom with people. It actually is really relaxing to where you could be yourself and to carry on those longer conversations. That's why I like it. Like, I'm doing like the Sabretooth show live now, and that's fun for that. But I'm like, I still need like time where I'm just like chilling with people in a more personal way.
Yeah.
What's weird is like, I know like you've been going on a bunch of lives, Tiff. There's a bunch of people that have been doing live. I don't think I can get there just yet because it's completely different. I don't know why I can be in front of my phone.
Way more different. Yeah.
Showing you like what I'm doing in my own personal boundary space. But the second that I'm live, I feel like I'm naked. Like all of a sudden you can see everything that's going on and it just gets really weird. I'm like, okay, Mayo's not made for this. Not yet.
I have that that's weird funny. Fluttery feeling the whole time, just because you're trying to do so many things when you're doing those. And it's like, okay, look for questions. All right. Okay. Who's in here? Invite this person up. Keep it lively, you know?
Yeah. It feels like, a lot more intimate. Yeah.
Yeah.
The camera is like right here. So like, you just feel like you're like, what's that comment? Like the entire time.
That's me. I'm like, I can't see. So I'm all, what's happening? I also feel like it's so much weirder on a live because, and it's not any different, but when I'm on my stories talking, if you see the background of my shop, it's not weird, but on a live, it's
weird. You're just looking at it. You're just staring
at it.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at it like, should I clean that shelf?
Yeah, for sure. It's like way more vulnerable, right? There's no running away from whatever's out there. And I don't know what that thing is as soon as I have to, it's like on stories or even in this conversation, it's super flowy, but it's like seeing a red light. Like whenever you're looking at a camera and you see a red light, you're like, yeah, so no live for me anytime soon.
Yeah.
I had to ease into them for sure. I have the tendency to say things that I regret later. So like, that's also not a good format for that. So you have to be very like cognizant of what you're doing, where you are, and hope that your friends stay at that level too.
Yeah.
Depending on what it is.
It's much less curated too than our Instagrams or our stories are. So it's like on the fly, you know, it goes hand in hand with like, I'm super shy. I'm so camera shy if somebody's taking my photo. But then when I'm on my camera, like on my phone and doing it, I feel like I exude confidence, you know, but in front of anybody else's camera, I like blush and I can't even smile.
Because you're not dictating exactly what it looks like.
Right. Exactly.
You don't have that preview of what you're seeing. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like that's my thing.
I think that's why lives are more nerve wracking too. You can't like edit it out or take it back. You're all, oh, well, I just fucking told everybody fuck off.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like when you ask me for pictures, Tiff, I'm like, damn it. Like that's the only cringy thing about this is like, I have to send you a picture of myself and it's, I don't know. I don't know why that still is weird. I know that people think just because we're online all day that we're so used to this stuff and it comes natural. I'm like, heck no, man. That's, it's terrifying.
I'm learning from people. Some people will like save like a whole Google folder of just headshots of them that they've taken and then just keep it there so that when somebody asks for a photo, they'll send a link. And then it's just like, here you go, choose from which one you want, you know, so that way the person gets a choice and you are curating what they get to see though. This is from Anne of All Trades. That's who I learned that from. And I'm like, I love that. So I stole that idea.
I do have a Captain's Planks folder in my iPhone, but it's everything. It's everything that's content related. So it's like not as, I should do something else like that for when somebody wants a photo, but I don't, then I'm like, well, you choose one.
Well, that's what you could do. You could put the ones that you don't hate in that folder.
Yeah.
We won't even say the ones that you love because I know we all have, you know, issues of alone. Like, oh, I like that. But I don't know. I'm over that. I'm like, ooh, look at that one.
Ooh. I zoom in.
What about this one? I don't know. Which one am I cuter in?
The brown overalls or the black overalls? The paint on it.
The ones with the paint make me feel like an artist.
I know. I have to say though, I'm pretty proud of like the level of comfort I have in walking out in what I walk out in now. Like before, I used to always like try to say like, I'm never going to be the mom that drops her kid off in like sweatpants, like pajama pants and just looks all disheveled. Like I'm not going to be that mom. And now I'm there and I have like two different socks on, two different Crocs on and like my hair all jacked up. Like, this is all I got today. This is all I got to give.
Yeah. I feel that in my soul. Actually, I think it's Lauren. I think her name's Lauren. Pretty positive. Her name's Lauren. She's really sweet. It's Barley and Oak. I'm going to feel horrible if I butchered it, but I'm pretty sure it's Lauren. She was just posting the other day. She's like, oh, I'm at Target in slippers, but they were the cutest UGG slippers. And I'm all, girl, you're good. You're good. Like you should see how I go.
For sure.
You do stop caring.
I mean,
I had a fucking broken sandal the other day. So bad.
Keep going with that. I want to hear more.
I was just flopping through Home Depot with my broken flip flop.
Did you know that before you left the house?
Yes. Yes.
And she kept on going.
I put it on and I'm all, this strap is still broken. I don't want to get my super glue. So I just went and it was just like,
Morgan.
They're like, it's there's Morgan again. What's up?
It's bad enough when you get that shitty like carriage cart that's just making that little wobbly wheel noise.
Yeah.
Then you got her with socks on too.
I had socks on with the flip flop. So it just brought it all home. Floppy flip flop with socks is just not the vibe.
Well, like, even just to go back to the whole like cart thing, mm-hmm. I have not mastered the whole like looking cool with the big cart, because anytime I'm there, I'm like Austin Powersing all the way around, because the wheel just doesn't do what I need for it to do to look like smooth and cool. Anyhow, and so like I'm trying to envision you doing that with a jacked up slipper.
Like, I do awesome. It. And then also my big lumber cart, like they're never level, the wheels. So I'm walking through Home Depot and it sounds like an earthquake, because I move way too fast at all times. So I'm like storming through Home Depot with my floppy flip flop and my cart's like, and it's just like a very.
Your face is totally normal. Like, what's up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm like smiling at people. Good.
In the life. That would make for great content. Just saying.
I was just thinking that I wish we had somebody that just followed us around and filmed those moments, because it's so hard. Like, what are you gonna do? Bring a tripod with you everywhere you go and just keep setting it up and moving it? That's tough.
Yeah, and if I'm filming my floppy flip flop with my thunder cart, I mean, people are gonna probably call the police on me at that point. Like, okay, this girl, something's wrong with her. She's taking videos of her broken sandals.
Just flopping.
Or it could be like, yeah, that's so, you're close enough to LA that they're like, oh, she's on it. Like,
that's where's her tent?
I know. But I think what's weird about that is, like, I was actually thinking about that. I've been sick. So last week I was sick as a dog. Mm. And it was the first time that I didn't post within 24 hours since I started my account. And I just didn't have it in me to like post a quote, post anything. And now that
there's
days
like that. Like,
the thing is, like, now I have to get back on it. And I was like, man, it's been so nice just being radio silent and offline. But to try to get back on, it's like, oh, where do I even begin? Where do I start? And so just trying to rejigger that muscle memory and to trying to record or like set a camera up just to do the one thing. I have to say it's starting to get a little bit more difficult just to find the motivation to do it.
Yeah. It's harder this season too, I think, for all of us to remember to record, because we're just like tunnel vision, like autopilot, done. See, and then we don't think, and at the end of a good sign you're like, shit, all I have is a reveal.
that's all I got for you.
Yeah, I don't have any. Ask me questions, but I can't show you evidence.
I have been recording less and less. I'm just like, I'll start recording real good in the beginning, then I start fading out, and then I get back in at the end. I'm like, oh, there you go.
But
people don't want to see it all.
You've been like rocking it over there. Like, yeah. It's my dream to one day be at a market, but it just takes a different level of like level of effort, level of time, space.
For sure. I mean, look behind me. I mean, that is my life right now. They're almost done though.
They look really great. They look so sick.
Thanks.
Oh yeah. They look amazing. And it's perfect for where you're going. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I want to do one product, but in a few different sizes. And then I was on Clubhouse earlier and I'm like, I'm also just going to do like QR codes that link to my website, so people can just buy directly from my website. And then they can sign up for my mailing list, hopefully, while they're doing that. And then, you know, get them into customer
database. It
works
really well for me at markets when I put out, I print out a form for custom orders and I'll take deposits and I'll link them to my custom listing. And that usually works pretty well too.
That's smart. Yeah.
You got to like put the QR code's really smart though. You got to put something out that shows like I have a photo album with all my customs in it. Mm-hmm. And you just like, hey, I'll make you whatever you want.
Oh yeah. I used to get a lot of customs at shows. I'm not offering those now though, right now. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You buy what I make.
Do you think it's easier when you're at show? Like, I love the idea of being at a craft show, like just being able to showcase your work. And the idea of engaging with people and like seeing their face react to the work that you did.
Yeah.
I like the idea. But I'm actually scared of being there and being in like super vulnerable in front of your work and having to engage people. Like, is that something that gets easier the more shows that you do?
For sure. I mean, Morgan does a lot of events. Like,
it gets easier for sure. Yeah. It, I think it's always going to be vulnerable because, you know, we're taking our thoughts and we're bringing them to fruition, and then we're like releasing custody of that into the world. And so no matter where you are, it's going to be hard, but it gets easier. Definitely gets easier. Now I just throw it down on a table. I've noticed the shows I stress the worst about, I do the worst at.
Yeah. If you just,
and then the ones that I'm like, all right, I'm going to cater to the demographic, I'm going to cater to the town I'm in or whatever it may be, you know, the vibe there, and just throw it all down on the table and like kind of just go with the flow. They do great. I sell out. But if it's like something that I'm like neurotic about and I'm trying to price like, you know, a few $100 signs or really expensive stuff, I think about those places as like, all right, on a Sunday, someone wants to walk around, they're going to this market, they're going to have $100 to $200 in their pocket, right? Walking around, whether it's card or whatever, walking around like, hey, I want to buy something. So I keep it in like a general price point, and I try to take into account what people may have in their pockets. So I'll have like a $40 section, a $20 section, and like a $60 or $50 section, right? Something like that. And it makes it so easy where people just walk through and see like, oh, these paint kits, $20, or oh my gosh, oh, these magnets are cool, that's 10, and I have a 10 right here. Like, I'm not gonna think about it. It's a little extra work.
You gotta have like little small buys. Mm-hmm. You gotta draw them in it with the big things and have the little things for them to buy.
And then you have your big stuff displayed and they become a returning customer because you have like a discount card on the table or whatever it is, you know, like I have like 10% off business cards and I throw them out all over the table with my business card. People usually pick up both, grab something small and buy a hair stick online or buy whatever it may be, you know, but that creates, I feel like, that returning client that now trusts you and thinks of you when they want gifts. Cause it takes a special person to buy a handmade item or a sign as a gift.
Yeah.
Cause not everybody has the confidence to gift somebody with something that's decorating their home, if that makes sense.
Yep. I hear that. And I think that, like, just to the point of being local, I think that within the city that I'm in, I sound like I'm in the Bay Area, but I'm on like the furthest southernmost tip of the Bay Area, which is basically almost the valley. And I just see that there's so much opportunity for beautiful things. Like, there's the run in the mill, like welcome to Gilroy type of stuff, but there's nothing that's really cool and designed in a sophisticated, smart way. No, I shouldn't say smart, sophisticated way. And I think that like, there's a huge market for that. And I think that like, when I'm trying to think of price points and stuff like that, I'm like, is a keychain just lame? Like, why do I have a keychain product I love so much to have, you know? So
keychains are the way to go, or ornaments, or,
you know what works really well with me with the keychains is I turn my, and you have a laser. So I turn my signs into smaller engraved keychains. So if people see something that's $100 and they're like, oh shit, I can't do that right now. Like, I'll get it if it's on your website later or something. Like, well, I have a keychain of this. Like, oh man, what? $10? Okay, cool. And they grab it really quick.
I want to like reach back because I totally have my Goonie sign as a little tiny ornament right now.
Just like Tiff made all the stickers of her signs she made. Like, that's such a cool way to reach people who want your art but maybe can't afford it. So I feel like keychains are never lame. They're the small pickup items. Like, my hair sticks at shows are a little bit cheaper than they are online because I like to keep them even, like 10 or 20, right? Yep. And it's just like, people walk by and snag those up. Yet when I'm prepping for a show, I'm thinking like, oh, that's so stupid. It's not going to make a statement. Like, it's not going to, you know, stand out. But
they want to buy something and their budget only allows so much. Yeah.
Love that. Okay. Well, that's because again, I'm like, what are things that I would want to buy as somebody? Mm-hmm. Like, again, it's the reason why I buy shop tees. It's like, I want to support you, but I don't want to buy a $200, $500 sign from you. Mm-hmm. And so I even think of that as a way to like find some smaller ways for make it more accessible, right? To have a piece of Seven Trees.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Magnets do really well. I'm a big magnet nerd. I have them all over the side of my fridge. And a lot of people love them. I find that resin, like people, oh, these are magnets, sick. Like, they love magnets. So that's another one. Make your sign into all my girl figures I have on magnets and keychains. And those are big sellers, like at markets, but not so much on my website. That stuff doesn't really move.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So is that something you're trying to get into this, Terry? Like just.
I feel like I've been trying to get into this for a really long time, but I think that it really is just a matter of how I manage my time, right? Like because I have a full-time job and I only have, like my kids take up a lot of time now that they have so many activities going around. Yeah. I'm really grateful that we're back in the swing of things, but I think it put a damper on the amount of time I have in the shop. So it's kind of like, do I do this business logo order? Or do I take some of the time to go and mass produce those keychains or mass produce some of the stuff that I'd have at a show? And so I always end up prioritizing the sign over anything else. And so I just haven't gotten to it. But again, it's my dream. Like the reason why I made this sign actually was I was like, all right, I'm going to make a sign so that one day I get to a show and I get a chance to like put my name up there and show up. But one day we'll see.
Yeah, I actually take art off of my walls. And I take it to shows because I just like to show what I can do. So I'll just like throw my sign. I took my last name sign that I made to a show and I was just like, oh, this is what I can do. The magnets and stuff, I try to run those while I'm working on the commissions, but that's my biggest issue, even with the ornaments right now. Like my ornaments did fairly well and I can't find the time to like dial in the tiniest end details, like putting the rope on and getting them shipped, you know, because everything like feels like it piles on this time of year. So I'm right there with you on like prioritizing the commissions, but like the paint kits did pretty well. So I think when you take time to just make one smaller item and then show it and then let people place their orders and then give yourself like, okay, 2 hours this day, I'm just going to like grind those out, pump it out and set a timer and just do it. It does create more of a passive income than you think, where when you go to do it in the beginning, the initial stage, you're thinking like, what is this going to, you know, $50, $40, like this sign over here is triple digits or whatever, you know, X, Y, Z. So that takes my priority, but I think sometimes they hit.
Like that's exact. Like I tried to, I think that I also need to, cause I'm new, right? I'm a baby maker, like not a baby maker. I mean, like,
I mean, you are, but
I am not. I'm in my infancy stage in Seven Trees.
Okay, so I was scrolling your page earlier, and I couldn't believe that you've only been around since April 2021. And I was like, wait, I feel like Terry's been in my life longer than this. Like,
I think. Well, for a while, I actually that was funny. Sorry. Thank you for helping me like bring it back.
No problem. I got this. I'm professional.
No, but I think that I had a different handle that got hacked. Had 700 followers. And I remember just feeling so gutted because the first go around, you're just putting your soul and all of your energy into coming up with this like thing. And then I lost it all after it got hacked. I learned, learned all the security stuff. And the second go at it was just like, all right, just start posting, right? Like just take it a little easy on yourself, show up as yourself. There's no need to spend an extra 20 minutes doing something a little extra that like no one's going to notice other than me. Just start posting. And I think that that's kind of where how it's gotten to where it is right now. I think one of the things that was super important to me, like on my day job, I do product design all the time. So the idea of any design, like branding, marketing, I do that on the daily. And so when I think of Seven Trees, I want to turn that side of my brain off and I just want to make, and I want it to be raw. I want it to be super authentic. I don't want to think about how is this going to be perceived, even though of course there's a little bit of like cleaning up or like some type of angle I'm trying to get at, but I try to keep it as raw as possible because I don't want it to become a bigger thing than it needs to be. And then I start hating it or start like manipulating it, or
sounds like she wants to start power carving is what I'm hearing, like from this. She just wants it to be what it's gonna be.
Exactly. Well, that's so like I think that's funny. That's where I've that's what I've learned from doing this long enough. Like at the beginning it was like everything has to be so freaking perfect, and it was exhausting because you kind of took the humanity out of like the end product. You get this thing that looks like it's made out of a machine. But at the end of the day, is that really something that people would value in a handmade product, right? So I think that ordering stuff from people, seeing what I'm receiving in terms of like different signs and whatnot, and people that I really respect and the level of humanity that's in their pieces, I'm like, then why am I tripping at that it's not super perfect? Like,
you
why
know,
am
I do like that when you do spend the money on somebody else's stuff and you get to look at it and you're like, okay, all right, yes. Yeah. Like, you kind of learn from mm-hmm. other people too. Like, I don't have to overcomplicate this and it still looks awesome.
Right. And yeah. I still appreciate it just as much. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's really like the thing that is, even though I've only been online for a little bit, I think that personally, it's taught me a lesson because again, you work on these huge campaigns for companies where everything has to be freaking pixel perfect. It's exhausting. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I just want to make this thing and like ship it. Like it doesn't, it's going to be what it's going to end up being. And I'm going to love it. And the person's going to love it. And that's that. It's not for everybody. It's for the person I'm making it for. Right.
What kind of marketing are you doing? Like what kind of brands?
So I can't really, like at this point I work at
shoes.
Netflix.
Oh, okay. I was like, is it shoes? Is it pizza? What do you advertise?
Works for Netflix, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I work for Netflix.
Cool.
But in a former life, like everything was all about marketing and it was working at an agency and living mm-hmm. like the Mad Men life really, which was really cool because you get a chance to work with some amazing creators, amazing, sure. designers, amazing like photographers, everybody's world-class. So just being around that is extremely inspiring, but it was also like to the point where I didn't know what my lane was as an artist or as like a creative. I was just mm-hmm. enabling other people to be really, really creative at a high level. And so I think that like when the pandemic hit and I had a whole lot of time on my hands, it was like, all right, let's just go and finagle and fiddle faddle around here. And I always knew I was good with my hands. I always made like those silhouette signs with like vinyl stencils and actually that one up there is one of my first ones where it was like
stencil, the red one.
It's terracotta.
Ooh, terracotta. Apologies.
I was about to be like the camel.
Well, you know what? It's blurred out. I can't read what it says.
It says going for broke, but we're gonna be rich.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It was like go balls out and whatever it is that you're gonna do. You might not see the dollar signs, but you'll be rich in so many other ways. Mm-hmm. So I was making a bunch of like those signs for friends, family. And then it was like, all right, what else can I do with this? And I saw Lainey over at Pine and Birch on the scroll saw. And I remember hitting her up and I was a huge fangirl at the time. I'm like, what is that machine that you're using? And so she sent me the specs. And shortly after in 2019, I told my husband, I was like, hey, can you get me this for Christmas, please? And so he got it for me. And I was like, I know I can get my money back on this thing. Like yeah. I just, even though I didn't know how to use it, I just knew that it would come back to me. And it ended up being like just so much more than that, right? It was just a source of therapy, a source of like me finding myself in some ways as an artist. And so like that is kind of just my journey into, I never really knew, I didn't have a vision of where I wanted to go or an idea for my business. I just knew that I needed to get into it fast, accumulate as many skills as possible. You can't accumulate very many tools because that shit's expensive, but like it was like learning my way into more complex things.
Scroll saws are the perfect like starter drug for making though. It really is just like, you just get up and go with it.
No. It was a big burn. For me, it was like, because you just see these videos where people are like doing mm-hmm. all these
things. Well, yeah, it's not natural learning. Like
I did, I put it down. I put it down for 6 months before I came back to it.
Yeah.
Because I was defeated, and you know, I was taught how to, I wasn't really taught how to do it, but Garrett had used one before, so he kind of went over using one and showed me how to use it. And I was like, oh, you're so good at that. And then I went to do it and I was like, I'm terrible. And I was like, go away. Like, I don't ever want to see you on this again. And so I was done. And then I was discouraged for a while and I came back to it. So I agree. It was a learning curve, but it was the most rewarding process of my life. And I will never, like, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. But I'm so fascinated by, I didn't realize your position at Netflix was like so so meshed with like your creative side as well, but because it's so corporate structured, you probably don't get, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like get your way often. Like a lot of your input matters, but you don't get to unleash all your creative gears, right? And so coming home, that's probably why right out the gates, you've been such a talented, incredible artist, because you have so much pent up creativity that you're like shoving out of your brain. Let it out, and right out the gates, it was like growth, because you've killed it, dude. And you're so seriously skilled at everything you do. Like everything, whether it's laser or scroll saw work, like everything you do is so beautiful. It comes out gorgeous. So you can tell that you really have that creative like bug in you.
I for sure have a lot of like, just let it out. And like, what's funny is, I also think, that for a really long time, I don't know how to describe this, and this is probably going to come off weird, but I think that so much of my, once you have a kid, like you're only mom, like, and that's not, that sounds rude. I don't mean it to be like a negative thing, because I love being a mom. I love that label, but it's like, oh, you're a mom in tech. You're a mom at this. You're never just Terry. And I think that coming out into the garage and the shop, it was like where I found my own identity as a, just Terry, not Terry, a techie, not Terry, a mom, not Terry, a wife. It was just me and whatever it is that I was going to create. And there's something so raw and beautiful about that, that I don't think that very many moms get a chance to experience. Like, I think they just don't allow themselves to, or speaking of which, daughter walked in.
Perfect timing.
Hello.
Here you go.
Look at her. She's camera ready.
Oh yeah. All the time. There you go.
Where are the blankets?
I have no clue. Go get it inside though.
They're in the You need a moment to find a blanket, it is totally okay, Terry. You're like, no, they'll find them.
They're on top of the couch.
Right on top. So I'm like, use your eyes. No, but I think that, like, speaking of mom, right? I just think that like people don't have a chance to be that honest with themselves. That's why I think it's such a gift, because I wouldn't have been able to experience it had I not just like had some and just, you know, had some courage to just get started. So I think that there's something that's really cool about that.
That's so interesting you say that. I'm not a parent. I'm not a mom yet, but
you're a fur mom.
I'm a dog mom. There you go. My best friend from my childhood, Ariana, I stayed with her for like a week, and you know, she wanted to get to scrolling. She called me one day and she's like, oh, are you gonna be mad at me if I want to do this? I'm like, are you kidding me, dude? This thing changed my life, and there's room for everybody at the top, girlfriend. Let's go. So she looked at some used ones. I went with her, checked them out. They're all broken, whatever. Long story short, her husband treated her to one, right? Got her a scroll saw. And I swear to God, the first time I watched that girl cut, her eyes lit up. Like it was, first thing was the same thing, the same concept. Like, dude, like I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and she's incredible mom and wife, but she's a stay-at-home mom. She has no full-time job. Mm-hmm. So she's always, her girls are 9, 7, and 2. So she's just like, dude, I don't have any other identity. And as soon as she started her little making journey, it was like, boom, like starry-eyed. I loved to see it, and I fit the same concept. So I totally get what you're saying. Even though I'm not a mom, totally get it.
It helps you make time for yourself and for the passions that you love. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It's a weird sense of freedom where I'm like, yeah, bitches, like I'm back. A little bit of like, I can't go back to my 20s, but man, this feels pretty good right here.
That's exactly how I felt after I had my kids, and like, I never carved signs before. I always like made, I've used a scroll saw like since I was a kid. That's hence why I think it's so easy. I'm not great at it, but I'm like, yeah, just push it through. It's just, I found it after I had my kids and hadn't made art in like 2 years because I was pregnant. I was miserable. We were planning our wedding. I got pregnant on the honeymoon. I never had time to be married.
Yeah.
So I had no identity after I had the kids. And yeah, once I finally found my way back into the garage, it did. It felt like I was like, oh, this is who I was. I used to do stuff like this. This is great. It really does like wake you up, and it just like enlivens you.
Plus, like my husband, he plays video games. And so like he jokes around that as soon as he hears power tools going, he's like, green light. And he just like hightails it upstairs, have our own things. You know what I mean? And I think that that's important too. It's like, go do whatever you do. I'm not going to yell at you for that. Just don't complain to me about being in the garage. It's kind of like this unspoken thing that works for us. And I think that like, we are way better off for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It helps.
And I just want to take a quick second break and just do a quick shout out to the sponsor of the show, Sabretooth Power Carving Tools. If you're looking to add some dimension, do some shaping on some florals that you may do, or get into carving, like get into carving, check them out. It's sabretooth.com, and they're having a Black Friday sale coming up. So keep your eyes open. I am posting about it all the time now, and it's coming soon. It'll be 20% off your entire order. So go check them out, sign up for their newsletter, and happy carving. Okay, back to the show.
Okay, so you got straight into the scroll saw. Like, was that the first tool you used? Yeah.
I've done like DIY projects around the house, but they're more like aesthetic. It's not like I was demoing anything. And so I had some experience with like a jigsaw, like all obviously like screwdrivers and all that other stuff, like regular
home tools. Yep.
But, like I used a miter saw, but I don't know what it is about that table saw. Like table saw still scare the crap out of me.
I don't like table saws either.
I don't own one. I don't even have one.
What do you use, a circular saw?
I have a track saw and a CNC and a I have a track saw, which is a circular saw on a track. And then I have my CNC, which does a lot of my like rectangular stuff anyways. And I try to use that to cut backers as I'm scrolling or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm not super advanced with my Onefinity. I'm not over here doing like very precise, perfect things, but I'm perfectly capable of laying out a piece of wood, a sheet of wood, and just cutting multiple backers. And that is worth it for me. So that's what I do most of the time. And then if I have to trim stuff up, it's usually my track saw.
That's the tool that I want next, is a CNC. It's like CNC or planer. Like, I feel like, I know that those are two completely different things, but anything that's over $500, like I really have to think about like the investment behind it.
Oh yeah.
Man, should I buy the planer that I know that I'm going to use more immediately, or just like suck it up, do what I need to do manually and save up for a CNC?
Because I support CNC. Go for the Onefinity, girls. Tiff knows. I really love the thought of having a planer. Well, I have two planers. I have hand planers, and then I have an electric, like a handheld planer. Like, but I want like a big one. A drum sander or a bandsaw would be next for me. Those are the two that are next for me.
I have to get a nice drum sander. I have one somebody gave me, and I cannot get the paper on it. And it makes me so sad. I've tried so many times. It's embarrassing. I like just want to throw it somewhere, although it's really heavy. I couldn't throw it.
It might be messed up though. Maybe there's something wrong with it, because I've had tools given to me before where I'm like, this can't be right.
I'm like, this thing has defeated me. Everyone's like, every time I post that, like when I do a big project like this, everyone's always like, you need a bandsaw. I'm like, fuck you, I have one. Come put the paper on it.
I have I'm like looking at it right now. It's like a 4x36 belt sander. And I have like a disc sander on the side that I use to just kind of edge stuff off. But I cannot change the freaking sandpaper on that thing. Like I have.
Which one is it?
It's like a Wen. And it did what it needed to do, but now I need to change the paper. And I'm like trying to lift stuff up and I don't know how it works. And I tried to
use it. We could FaceTime sometime and I'll show you. I have that one and I have the Ryobi.
Okay. Oh, yay. Okay. Yeah.
It's complicated. It's way more complicated than it needs to be. It's so annoying.
I thought it was going to be easy. And I was like, okay, forget it. I'm just going to bring out my freaking circular or like just my orbital sander. And we're just going to do it this way. And it takes a long time, but it's just because that belt sander is just a pain in the butt. Like,
yeah, the Ryobi is easy. It has like a tension belt and it just releases and then it compresses. But then the Wen is like a total pain in the ass.
Good to know, because it's been sitting there. I'm like staring at it. It's been sitting there and I know that I will not use it again until
not touching you. Careful with those two. I've had them snap in my face really bad.
I'm convinced the belt sander is trying to kill me. Like, I know that we're scared the table saw, but the belt sander has tried to kill me multiple times now with like little pieces or like just grabs my knuckle. It's if I die.
The belt sander wants to take my eyes. Is its price. It wants my eyeballs. It's whether it's a belt breaking or whatever I'm standing on it, shooting back, like I can't seem to like knuckle up. And like every time I use it, and I use it a few times a week, I swear something ricochets somewhere and I'm like, oh,
this is why can't I use it without glasses when I power carve. Yeah. Because the thank shards of wood that shoot off is scary as fuck.
I've never power carved. I've used angle grinders to sand down our cabin in Big Bear, and I had to wear goggles during that because it was like fucking us up. Everything's like,
yeah,
like, shoot. Rapid fire.
Yeah. Just like, be ready.
It's violent.
Yeah, that's fun.
But I think like the one thing that I have been getting better at though is just using the right masks for the right things. I remember the very, when I first started, and like as soon as this happened, I was like, okay, I'm always going to use a mask. It was my first foray into filler primer. And like everybody that I was watching at the time was like, flood that, just like spray it all over. And so no mask, I was just like, shh, all around. And then I remember for like 3 days straight after that, I was blowing my nose and filler primer, which was like still in there. I'm like, okay, this is disgusting. If this is just filler primer, like what is MDF doing to my lungs? Or what is this other material doing to my lungs? I'm like, okay, I learned mask up all the time, but every so often I'll forget like my goggles or like my glasses. And that's when something will like come out and try to
get you.
That's why I wear my 3M1, and I get a lot of flack. I get messages from, you know, random middle-aged men all the time. They're like, you're wearing too powerful a mask for what you do. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I understand that your cloth mask type thing. You know, there's a lot of brands out there that have like mini pretend filters and they're like cloth masks, and that's fine. Those are great. I'm not going to bash them. I have a lot of them. I'm going to wear my 3M1 at all times though, because the chemicals that are in that MDF or in my paint or any of that, I'm going to use something that's just a roundabout good for fumes that I can keep around my neck all day, because if it's not around my neck, I'm not going to pick it back up. And if it fits like a scarf, I'm not going to pick it back up. I need something that's like in my face, like put your mask on, dummy, or you're going to sit here all day breathing paint, because I too have blown paint boogers for many days in a row.
Like, and how do you produce this much filler primer snot?
I don't know how primer gets on my pieces sometimes based on my snot. I'm like, what?
What?
Is it all in my brain? Like, what is happening? Is this why everything looks like shit today?
Jeez, that's crazy. I've never used it ever.
A mask?
Or no, filler primer. No, I've never put a mask on ever. No, Parcel Mask Night Carver saves 10%.
The filler primer is better than the Montana primer. I will say that. I preach the Montana primer because I love it with the paint, but oh God, it's a mess. It's a mess in your face. It's a mess when it sprays. It's a mess when it sands. It sands. It's a nightmare. Like I have to plan a sanding day.
Yeah.
And prepare, because if not, it won't come off your hands till you like shower. And it's just like this white coated glove dust. It's terrible. So
the Montana any type or of
primer? The Montana.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, the Montana primer.
I've hoarded up on all of my filler primer, like just because I knew that everything was going up, and it was something that I knew was critical to sign making for the holidays, last holiday. So I freaking Costco sized that stuff up in my car. Like anywhere I saw it, I would grab it. And there were still like $5-6 at the time. So I'm glad that I did. But I think that it's gotten to the point where like, I know that there are other ways to do this. Like I hear like Montana, there's something about sanding sealer. Like there's different ways to just seal your wood before you paint it. But I'm like, I'm just going to keep using my stuff until I run out. Like,
I mean, no, you got it.
I would always use filler primer. I still keep it on hand because it's cheaper than the Montana and I love it. The Montana, I just buy like you do. By the cases or palette, so I have like a ton of it, but the filler primers are my go-to. Sanding sealer didn't impress me with my finish at all. I probably would never use it again.
I've done it with wood. Like I use sanding sealer on my wood before I work on wood, but for paint, like I just haven't needed to explore it, so that's why I haven't tried it out there.
Yeah, for paint I wasn't impressed, but the filler primer, I'm like, I would buy it by the palette too. It's my favorite.
I'm like, I became like major hoarder. Like I even noticed when I changed the can, like the design of the can on the outside. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is when I know I'm getting into the new stuff now, because like seasons have changed for filler primer, but as long as I have it, like I think for a while I was able to get it off of Amazon for super cheap. And so I tried to hoard up as much as possible. I know that that's not like more so than lumber, more so than anything else, any even paint. Like I don't know why like filler primer has a special place in my heart for the thing that I need to collect the most of.
Oh, well, it's essential. It's, you can paint it another way, I guess, if you want, but if you want everything to be smooth when you're using that material.
Well, like you said, it is very critical. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Montana primer works exactly the same. It's no different. I just like the finish compounded with the Montana paint, but I keep them both on hand. I'm not like favoring either one. And in terms of messiness, I'd rather work with filler primer all day.
Yeah. And I think there's a big push, or not push. I think that it's trending to use like an HLVP sprayer. And I just know I'm freaking lazy. I can barely like clean out my regular sprayer that I'm like, I mean, it props to people who are like able to keep up with it. I just know I just rack up a bunch of, like,
I have 4 airbrush guns I have to clean that I've left ink in them right now.
I got sent a sprayer and I'm all, maybe one day when I paint a house, I'm never going to use it for like, I mean, maybe primer, but I also am not responsible enough an artist to like batch my priming sessions. I probably prime every other day and I'm like, woo! Pink is.
So, like, I don't know if it's still pink, but see this area right there? I swear, like, I only use a sprayer once on a backer, and I tried to like cover up the whole area. And it was actually like a home type of like an industrial strength sprayer for a backer. Mm-hmm. It was like a 6-inch round. And I was trying to get it super smooth and use this technique, and that just sprays everywhere. Like, it doesn't just stay in one area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, it's like it surrounds you, and I don't know how it got like on the floor, it got on the walls, it got like
all everywhere.
So it's pretty, like, the gnarliness of the sprayer that at least I have, like, I have a Wagner or like a home point, something like that. Both
home tech, those. Yeah, I have that one, or the home TPS or whatever.
It's again, inside, if I'm painting a room, money. If I'm painting small things, like, I'm just going to stick to my cans. I know some people are like, it's more difficult, but I was like, that's why I practice. So it's not as hard as like it might be for other people.
Yeah. A lot of people prefer hand painting too, to be fair. Like, there's some people like Ashley Meant to Be Creations, and you, Tiff, both of you guys are like incredible hand painters. Like, Ashley's florals are gorgeous. She is awesome. Love her florals. And every time she posts them, and Jocelyn does spray paint, but Jocelyn's florals too, I'm like, ugh, in love with. I could never hand paint. If I hand painted florals, they would honestly look like my cat barfed on them. Like, it would be the most tragic thing. Like, it's terrible. And I think I've even talked to you
together someday, Morgan.
Yeah, because I think I've told you before, like, dude, I can't get the depth that you, like, I can't even figure out how to shade and highlight hand painting, but spray painting, I practice and I'm decent with. So
I would like airbrushing.
Probably. It's like the combo of the two.
Yeah, exactly. To get the details.
Have you seen?
But again, then I have to clean the gun.
For sure.
Yeah.
Have you
seen
what, like, Sheebs has been up to?
Who?
Like, Sheebs Designs?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, so there are certain makers who I like look at their work. I'm like, you were born an artist. Like, I made myself into an artist, but like, people like Sheebs or even like Ben over at Ink and Americana, I'm like,
yes,
made to be a whole nother level artist. I'm so grateful that you're a part of the maker community. It's incredible. But I'm like, some of the stuff that they put out, I'm like, that
Ben
is
Ben stands out to me the most.
Yeah.
Ben is wild. Sheebs too. I love all of her portraits. I love everything she does. I think she's wildly talented. Ben just like comes in at a different caliber than a lot of us. his stuff blows my mind.
It's because he brings so much depth in his work. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's all that.
But it's also so abstract, mm-hmm. but still identifiable, if that makes sense. It's not totally. Too abstract. It's gorgeous. Like, I get lost in it all the time. Just like, what?
He's the reason why I use color. Like, I'm very, like, even like my clothes, I'm like very monochrome, like black, white, brown, gray, like that's my jam naturally. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, like, I just so happened to get a couple of like business logos that required color. And I just remember looking at it, like, how am I going to use, like, color combinations are really hard for me to pull through. Like,
gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why my brain just doesn't operate. That's like designing is probably the hardest thing out of all of the making process for me, like coming up with a concept, conceiving a concept, then like after you design it, you have to apply like the detail, right? What color it is or what depth it is. But as soon as I get to the color aspect, I seriously have to like Pinterest board, like what green and pinks work together. Or like, I think that the idea of color theory is probably the hardest part for me to pull together as a maker. And that's just because it's the furthest from my comfort zone, but really like taking a look at Ben's work inspires that for me of like, oh, how do those colors work? And I think that a lot, that's how I've been able to grow so quickly in terms of my skill set, because I pull a little bit from a lot of makers in terms of like what their techniques are, what they're doing. And I just gain curiosity around that. And what's kept me interested, like I've had hobbies before and those have fallen off. To be honest, like I was a photographer for a second. I was like this and that. I have like a bunch of, like I'm a tinkerer. But I think the reason why I've been able to maintain just my interest in woodworking is because there's always some new technique or 100%. Some new material or something that I'm just curious about that I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing here, but we're just going to mess around and see where it lands. Like at the very beginning, right? We're just going to mess around, see where it lands and see how it ends up working. And so I think that that's like my evolution. Like for a hot minute, I was into like all metallics and all golds. And I'm like, okay, let's pop it in with like acrylic. Then it was like all acrylic. So I think you could see, if you look at over my timeline of like just pictures, it's just constantly like trending towards the things that I was interested in, trying to build each one on top of each other. Has been like, that's probably been the fun part about like, oh shit, I could do that. Like I do that. Like, dude, did you see that? I made that. So I think there's pride in the problem solving and figuring it out, just constantly having to do that and do it in a space that I'm curious about. Like that's the sweet spot for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. That's a huge benefit to this community too, is being able to connect with people who also inspire you or, you know, mentored you or anything of the sense. The way you talked about Ben is how I feel about Christina. So naturally made by hand. So Christina is like crucial in everything I've learned when it comes to materials outside of wood, right? Like I'm so inspired by her work and the things that she'd grab a jar of pennies and try to scroll them, right? Like this girl will try to throw anything through her saw, and it's like made me less scared of breaking my saw. So then in turn, I've tried new things. Or when I brainstorm with her and Jocelyn, it's like, boom, or like Tiff or somebody like, oh God, you think different than I do. Like, and seeing the way everybody's minds work on different levels, like,
Yes.
It takes a special mind too, I don't want to sound like I'm like tooting in my horn or anyone's horn, but it takes to be creative. You can be one of two ways. You can be somebody who feels inferior when you see talent that is above yours, and not to sound like, you know, you can get there, but there's a pattern of growth. So you see that talent that you may feel is above yours and you feel less than, and that's not, I tell everybody like, oh my God, no, lean into it. Talk to that person. Talk to that person, because there's room for everybody at the top. And I guarantee you, like, they will tell you something that is formative for your career and your business and your craft. So I think it's, you find the people that inspire you, and then this community allowing us all to connect really helps us grow as individual artists at the same time, if we give ourselves that space to do so.
And we're so willing to share too. Like how you said, like, when you first started, you reached out to somebody and you asked them for advice at how they do something. Like, we're all willing to share and take time and talk things through when you have questions. Like, as long as you come in and you say hi and you form a relationship. I do hate when someone just straight up DMs me like, yo, how you do that? And you're like, hey, how about say hi first? Like,
that's why I started the subscriber page. I wasn't sure about it at first, but I'm like, you know what? For these point blank questions, I will entertain that over here, but those things don't generate, this is my full-time job. So those things don't generate anything for me. Like Terry said in the beginning, I got to focus on work. So I try to gear those there. And then the people who want to have actual friendships, like, okay, cool. Like,
yes,
we can talk casually because I enjoy it. But if you're just going to be point blank and rude, like,
yeah, I think I've had really amazing experiences. Like, I found my people, anybody who I've actually reached out to, Justin over at LeBon Restorations, he's the first guy I ever showed my work to. And it was funny because he, like, I was looking at his page for a while and I was like inspired by just how freaking clean he is at everything that he does.
And
everything
is just the videography and photography that he does is right. So sharp.
And so, like, he is somebody whose work I aspire to. He was the one who was in that upper echelon where I'm like, oh, you're so good, right? I want to be, I want to be at that level one day. And so I just remember the very first sign that I had made, I had like asked him a bunch of questions and then I shared it with him and he was like, dude, this is really good. And as soon as he said that, I was like, there's a chance. Like,
yeah,
I'm not terrible. And there's some validation, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, again, just like just the other day, I was like, hey, dude, does this suck? Like this way or this way? Like, how does this work? And just having like a coworker of sorts that you mm-hmm. can bounce ideas off of is so valuable. There's no way that I would have ever gotten to where I would have gotten if I was just by myself without the internet. There's so much, like, there's just so much inspiration, but not only that, like you said, willingness to, for me, it's willingness to look really dumb, doing something and completely like falling on my face. That's not something that I'd probably do at work, but this is like a safe area for me to try to learn and to fail. And I think that there's a beauty that we makers have that's kind of like the opposite of what the general internet serves of like perfection and everything has to be a certain way. We're like, I'm walking out with my broken slipper, you know?
So. Yeah. And even times, a lot of times with our partners, like I know I've had minor, but some conversations with Tiff's husband, and I think he's freaking hilarious. He's often awesome. And then I've had a lot of conversations with Justin's wife, you know, and I love her. She's such a sweetheart. Same with him too. Like anytime. So there was recently, actually a few weeks ago, there was a conversation I was having with Christine and Jocelyn, and I'm like brainstorming a custom that I'm blocked on. Right. And then I'm texting Justin, like, on Instagram, I'm like, hey, I have a question about my Thunder. Like, I don't know what's going on. My air filter's not right. So he sends me a video of his and how it's working. And then he's like, hey, I can jump on a call with you if you want. So then I just like threw him into the call with all of us. Right. And I'm like, hey, okay, just come on here really quick. And we do that with Tiff too all the time. Like, just like
jump in really quick.
Yeah. Like jump in really quick. And it's so cool to have so many people that not only inspire you and motivate you and cheer you on, but like help with those creative blocks. And then you form friendships and you can just be like, hey man, I'm feeling kind of insecure about this mock-up or this picture or this whatever, or like, hey girl, like, can you give me your opinion? And it's no judgment. Whereas, as weird as it sounds, if we send those things to like our family or our close friends, sometimes they don't get it. And they're like, you're thinking too hard about it. And it's like, no, I'm not.
The question that I had, and it was so funny. The question that I had for him was like vertical here, I have it with me, like vertical grain or horizontal grain. And I was like sitting there just flipping, which one is the way that it needs to go? And the beauty is, like, because we were kind of like laughing at that was the problem that we were trying to solve. And there was no wrong answer. You know what I mean?
Like,
you can have an opinion. I can have an opinion. And that's super cool. Like, there's no like judgment for your opinion. And that's what I think is like, that's what makes our space so safe, because it's like, you know, like I might have an idea about how I would have made a sign that you made, but like, that's just because I'm me and you're you, and that's why it's different. And if there's something amazing and beautiful about that, rather than being like, well, you should have made it this way, or you should have used these materials. Right. Like there's no room
for that. That's the best part. So, like there was a whole, still is, but the, you know, I'll do whole mock-up days with them where I'm like, all right, you guys got mock-ups, we got mock-ups, and we're just like, what do you think here? And I could not go with somebody's suggestion and nobody's offended. And I love that. I love that it's just like, oh, I would do it this way, I did it this way. And I'm like, holy shit, I'd never do it any of those ways, but those are great ideas. Like, I'm gonna do a little bit of all three of those and just figure it out.
I was gonna say, you get inspired by what you're hearing people shoot out for answers. It may not be something that you use, but it brings you to where you need to be.
Yeah, and it makes you think of different materials or things, or I don't know, orientations, anything.
Well, sometimes it's like, okay, I know exactly what I don't want to do. Like, oh, like that's maybe cool, but not for me. And I think that's where we find our boundaries, right? Yeah. Or where our curiosities are like, okay, that's as far as I'm going to take this one for right now. Yeah. And I think that there's like, that's really the fine tuning that you get a chance to like riff off of with friends. I actually have a friend in particular. She's one of my best friends that I've had since like college. And like I call on her when I need to brainstorm because she just keeps running with me. So she's not the practical person who's like, well, did you think about this and that? And like,
trying just to resolve it. Yeah.
She's life out just, of a dream. Yep. Right. But she's like, oh, but what if you do this and that? Or like, she just tries to extend my vision just a little. And then it's like, oh, then it just kind of inspires like another thing. And it's just a constant. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the people that I need as fuel to just get excited about these things. Cause then a name sign's a name sign, right? There's only so many backer types. There's only so many fonts.
Yeah.
So how do you get excited, right? And so I think that having your tribe of people around that can kind of just get you excited and push you and motivate you, like, and she loves it because she gets to see me do all of the work. It's kind of like bringing
she gets to watch it magically come together.
I think that there is like, that's what keeps me showing up. That's what keeps me going here. And again, like, I don't see this as like necessarily goalposts that I need to reach. I just want to make sure that I'm maintaining curiosity and it doesn't become a drag. It doesn't become something that I start to resent that I have to do. So I think that by, again, not trying to overdo it, take it as a way that I'm giving myself time back just to focus on me. I think that that perspective of like gratitude versus like, I have to, every so often there's like a sign that I'm like, freaking have to do this. I don't want to do it.
I was going to say. So I will recommend that you don't do markets unless you really want to be grinding, because there is a lot of, I just like it, at first you really love the idea. And then by the time you get through sign 54 that I'm currently on, you just want it to be done. As much as I'm having a ball with these, I'm like, okay, let's just get the hardware on. Let's just get the hardware on. I'm like in that phase.
And Terry, you're very creative and you're very, kind of like I'm a lot of us are, most of us are. I mean, Tiff is too, but she's grinding for this market. And when I do markets, I too am like producing mass inventory and it drives me crazy. But most of our stuff, all of us, is like more one of ones. Mm-hmm. Or like,
that's where I thrive. You know, I love those ones.
Yeah, the customs. Yes. And so when you get thrown into that, don't get me wrong, I love a good rush of like, I got 2 weeks to buckle down.
I do too, though. I really do like it. I do.
But
how many can I make?
It's monotonous. And, you know, then it, you're neglecting your commissions, really. You are. I mean, you're sitting there like just
because grinding. You're dedicated to this one thing.
Yeah, like, this one day that's 50-50.
I tried to do it last year with just batch. I was like, all right, I'm going to have one design with different form factors, square, circle, rectangle. And I'm going to have a certain number of fonts and just like just small selection of attributes that you can put together. And I was going to try to batch them. And I maybe did like, again, I'm a part-time maker. So I did, I think like 12 or 15 signs in a small amount of time. And by the end, I was so done. I was like, I cannot do that again. In terms of like, in terms of like one day was all cut day. One day was all frame day. One day was all like paint and prime. I was like, I don't know if I, again, it's just a different temperament, right? If I know that that's what to expect, I think I can get in that mindset. But that transition from like, making one and focusing on one thing at a time, even if it's a fast, like 2-3 day turnaround, that's more fulfilling than trying to get back like, all of them.
I spent one day just CNC, all day. I got all the signs done in one day. Then the next day I'm going to just power carve all the minis. Then I'm going to just power carve all the larger ones. Now I'm just filling in the blank. Like I did, I was just like, woof. I'm like, this is definitely a mission when you're going from zero inventory to a full inventory, you know?
Yeah. But how has that transition been though? Like, cause I know that like you just recently went from having like full-time job into more like full-time maker, but you're also like podcast host extraordinaire. You're juggling a ton.
I'm juggling too much. And that's why like the podcast I just put to rest for a while. You're actually my first one that I've recorded back. Like you're my very first one I've scheduled because I'm like, you know, I do want to get back into it. It may not be a weekly show anymore. And I've just kind of got to accept that. Whereas they come out when they come out, because this is like my fun socials, you know, socializing time and getting to hang out with people that I don't hang out with on a daily basis. Maybe I do, but for the most part, I don't. But it's been really good. I'm still like not a full-time maker because I'm doing the social for Sabretooth and Workbench Con, but like, it's a nice balance. Whereas I spent all of Monday, I just dedicated my day to like Workbench Con and I just I sat and I just made graphics. So now that every day I can just post those graphics and kind of like post and ghost, you know what I mean? Because I already put in the time for it and I created all this stuff. So I'm like, I'm just kind of learning to navigate those seas. But as you can see, I'm finally figuring out how I can be a maker with that. Because for the first 3 months where I was doing all of that and working my full-time job, I was just, there was no room for making. Like, I just stopped making almost for a full 4 months. I didn't pick up any tools. Like, it was insane.
I didn't know it was that long. That's crazy. Yeah,
because I was reposting old videos. It looked like I was doing stuff, but I was just posting old stuff and re-editing things. So yeah, it was a weird period of time where I wasn't doing any kind of making. And then when I started again, it was like, I still kind of feel like, wow, like I'm in a garage. Like, it still feels so new to me. I'm like, huh, this is nice.
Yeah. Like, even when I go through the days where all I can do is like 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, sometimes I just sit on the freaking garage floor and I'm just like, what are we going to do now? You know, like, I don't know. There's something about even having that little bit of time that recharges me. So mm-hmm. I can't imagine, like, you're going to find your groove. You're going to find out, like, amongst all of the different things that you need to manage, you're going to find.
Yeah, I'm starting to now after doing it. Now the kids will say, I won't even say, cause like I quit my job, right? School got out on June like 23rd. I quit my job on June 24th, like an idiot, like school was out and the kids were home with me full time. And I was just like, now that they're finally like in school, I feel like I've had 2 months of trying to like get used to this lifestyle. And it's finally starting to make sense. Yeah. It'll get thrown off again in the summer. But right now it's like, all right, okay.
I dig it. I love it. Like I said, like I'm inspired. Like the thing that there's no lack of inspiration. And I love
out there. Oh my God. Yeah.
Where people are like just following their dreams and they're killing it. Like Morgan, I remember when you had like 2,000 followers and I'm like, what? Like, look at you go. And I'm so like proud and excited for people that like, even though we may not have ever met, like, there's just some investment in you and seeing your craft grow over time or like any of these makers, Sam, like, dude, Pine Baron, like, holy crap. These people,
you're naming that
all of our favorites.
Patrick and Carlina are like my favorite people in the world. I think Sam is such a hustler. And I feel the same way about you, Terry, because I'm pretty sure I followed you at like, I think you had like 500 followers or something or 700 followers. And you grew so quickly and it's so well deserved because you're not just good with the material you're working with. You have such a good creative eye and eye for design that everything, like, your growth is more than deserved. You should be growing faster than you even are. And you've grown so quickly, but I feel the same way about you. Like there's something so inspiring, no matter what number anybody's at, to see somebody growing in a steady way that they should. And in Tiff too, with all the opportunities she's taken on and everything she has on her plate right now and all the cool things she's handling, like, it's just so inspiring to see somebody fully immerse themselves in this community and
it's pretty cool.
Take off the way they deserve to.
I sometimes don't realize it's my life. I'm just like, how I got here.
You're like the pinnacle of this community.
I got the things I wanted.
I could literally just say like, oh, I'm talking to Tiff, to like anybody in the community. And it's like everyone knows Tiff. People that probably don't even follow Tiff know Tiff, because you are such a staple in that you bring so many people together. You're very like, I don't know, you create
There's
a community
tears
of your
in
own.
My eyes. Shh.
I feel bad for any other Tiffany, because you're like, oh, not that Tiff. not that one, you know? Like, I really do. I think that, like, I posted it on your story, like, just knowing the grind, knowing that you wanted this for so long and finally achieve it. Like, there's nothing that just the idea of, like, Morgan, you've been saying it, there's room at the top for everyone. Like, that's the reason why we all love each other so much, because it's like, we want to see that success. Mm-hmm. We want to see people reach what it is that they know that they want, or whatever potential they have. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, at the end of the day, we're just all trying to figure it out. No, there's no secret. It's just, we have ideas, we have visions. If we get there, awesome. But we're going to have a hell of a good time on the way up there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's so many people that get very angry about the competition, like I said earlier. And then there's people who can brainstorm together and recognize, like, your thoughts aren't better or worse than mine. They're different than mine. And that's a beautiful brain. And I'm going to take some of that in. And I think it takes a different outlook to do that, but then it goes hand in hand with the room for everybody at the top. You know, we can all succeed because we all have a different approach. I guarantee you, you could pick, just randomly cherry pick 10 makers, give them all the same design. Everybody's going to execute it differently. And it's incredible to see.
I really do want to do that, by the way, like during a non-busy time. I think that would be such a fun challenge.
That would be
like, just everybody make this one file and I want to see it at the end.
I would do it.
It would just be so, right? Wouldn't that be so fun? It has to just be like during a non-busy time of life.
I feel like that's like January to March is always an awkward time of the year where you're like, like February, you're like, is my business failing?
There we go. In February, we'll distract everybody. We'll come up with some kind of fun challenge. Yeah.
I love that because I bet, like you said, it's going to be so radically different from me. It'd be so fun to do that.
Yeah. Everybody would approach it differently. The materials people would use, the depth, the layering, the dimension, and then to learn how they did it, because there's so many people who layer that, you know, most people stack cut. And then from Jocelyn, I learned like the shim method, where like you're not stack cutting and wasting material, you're stacking shims underneath your pieces to create that dimension.
I don't know if I've ever seen her do a shim technique.
I don't know that she, I don't even know if she's posted it before, but it's just a
Jocelyn's holding back.
Yeah, instead of wasting the material on a stack cut, now I've started exploring carving in that dimension or giving the shim method or doing something like that, and it wastes less material. Now I don't have duplicates when I don't need them.
Jocelyn, I feel like is someone who's just so sneaky smart and creative. Yeah. That's what
I'm telling you though. That's part of what we all talked about with our brainstorming sessions. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen her come up with so many things on her own. We've all contributed things where each of us, her, me, Christina, you, everybody's like, oh, well, that's a really fucking interesting way to approach it. Like, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the times where like we absorb other people's brains and it's like, oh, dang, like that's how you would approach it. Now I want to approach it that way. And she's a very empathetic person, but a big absorber too. So she's going to like listen, take it in and process. Yeah. And like, all right. Like, yeah, I'm going to try that. And she's the biggest thing I admire about her over most artists that I engage with and talk to frequently is her will to experiment.
Yeah.
Like Christina's going to try a new material, but she's like, I'm going to get it right. And I'm not going to fuck this up. And there's no room for error, you know? And then Jocelyn's like, I'm going to have 2 days of just wild experimenting. And it's like, it's so inspiring. And then I get out there and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try that today. You know, it's really rad. It's really rad to see how everybody's brains work differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm like thinking right now, I'm like, oh, I don't even know what the design is. I'm like, what are some new ways that I could just mess around? And I think that that's the hard thing about like, I have no idea how I landed on business signs, like business logos. I have no idea why people trusted me off the bat with making their logo when I didn't know what the heck I was doing at all. I just got the right opportunities at the right time. But I think that like, because of that, there is a smidge less opportunity to go wild and out based on the types of businesses that I've worked with. And so I feel like I don't feel like, I'm not sure if I've been able to really express myself or my own personal style just yet, because so much
coming up next. Like,
I hope so, man. I want room for like, what's Terry going to make, or what's Terry's custom thing going to be? So I hope that that's something that I work on next year, because I've put closed for customs for a really long time. I swear that sucker's been on there for at least solid 6 months. The right people hit up my DMs. I'm like, okay, I'll do that.
No, you know? I know. I've had mine up for like 2 years closed for customs, and occasionally they do sneak in somehow. I don't know how it happens, but it does.
I'm such a weenie. I should do that because my wait list, it creates a not justifiable amount of anxiety in me. So I should cut them off, but I'm so scared that if I do that, like, I'm so scared of that. I admire you guys for doing that because it's better for your psyche.
But also, you're a full-time maker and that's your only income. Yeah. So there's different things that others can do. Like,
and you would think that the wait list would create perpetual security income.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, because then people are like, oh no, like I'm struggling. Can you bump me down? Which is totally fine. I'm all for that, but it's caused me to increase deposits and other things elsewhere and change things, because I rely on these 7 people each month. And then now I have 4 and mm-hmm. that significantly impacts me, right? And then they want to be on the next month, and then they, oh, I forgot, next month. And I'm like, I'm not working on any more of your stuff until you pay me. I'm sorry, it's on the back burner, and now you're at the bottom and you can see your piece in 8 months.
I'm just thinking, why has no one done a show me the money Jerry Maguire like maker video yet? Where's the real?
Because you're the one who's probably supposed
come
to
on, people. Let's go. Let's see these show me the money reels. No, bitch, I get paid if I get an order. Give me that money right now.
I'll take, if it's above a certain threshold, I'll take half up front.
Yeah.
But if it's below a certain threshold, I need it all up front. So it just depends. I try to work with people.
Hey, Terry Y, what's up?
There's always one stupid order that gets through. Usually I'm like on top of it, like 50% up front. And then there's that one order.
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
And I just never get paid for it. I'm like, oh, man. And at what point am I like, what am I going to do with this piece? I don't want it. what am I supposed to do with this thing that you?
Yeah. I don't want to say which one, because I don't want to put my customer on blast. But one of my biggest, most proud pieces in the last like 5 months is still sitting right here in front of me, because he wants to figure out when he can pay for shipping and do all of that, which is totally fine. There's I'm not in charge of anybody's finances. Like, do your thing, dude. But it breaks my heart to sit here and stare at this piece. Like, want to put it in like a vacuum sealer or something.
I just got ghosted, which is why when I look at it, I just get really angry. I'm like, I've not, like, it's only happened this one time, but I just remember I think you only need that one time to just know to better.
Yeah.
But it's always, I hate it. I hate it so much.
I have that.
I was so excited about it until I didn't get paid. Now I'm just annoyed.
I have two local businesses that totally ghosted me. And I said, oh, since you're local, you can pay me at the end upon finishing. Oh, and then one, she wanted to change her logo. So that's fine. Whatever. One was halfway done. And she was like, oh, I thought it would be done in 2 weeks, but I told her the wait list was a few months, yada, yada, yada. Long story short, she basically said, like, I had the money to pay for it then. I don't have the money to pay for it now. So I just stare at her logo at all times. And then she changed her logo recently. And so then I reached out and I was like, I still have your old logo sitting right here.
Yeah. Like, then I turned into somebody who's super passive aggressive, and I'm not ever passive aggressive. I'm very direct usually.
Yeah, me too.
I hate the way that it changes me like that. Like, that's probably the only thing that I've hated. Like, weirdos and all that other stuff I can deal with. But I think it's because it's like, dude, don't waste my time. There's only so much time I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful I don't get the weirdos. I really don't. And I think it's because I look like an asshole. I think that's what it is.
You think you look like an asshole?
Like, people are like, you know, she smiles a lot, but she's probably a
I would think they'd be coming at you like, hey girl, no. I'd like you to pet me like you pet that dog.
No, I get weird shit. Like, I got, so recently I got like a phone number, and it was like some random like middle-aged dude, and he's all, hey baby, I'm Alabama Dave, text me.
Ooh,
not Alabama doing that,
Dave. Look at that offer.
Not doing that, but that's as creepy gets. Like, nobody's ever like reaching out for weirdo shit or like pervy stuff. Like, I get weird comments like, how many tattoos do you have? But I get that at like Home Depot too, right? So I'm like, fuck off. Like, none. Don't look.
Usually, like, if I get something funny, I screenshot it and then like I share it with a couple of friends. I'm like, this is just funny, right? Like, this isn't major creep mode. And it's usually just it's just somebody being dumb. That's all. And
I've only gotten one that's really freaked me out, and it's when they kept offering me money for my shoes. And that just, I had to.
Okay. So I have been asked for feet pics.
Yeah.
And I shared it with a couple of friends in the maker community. And they would probably, if you guys message them, I'm not going to say their name and put them on blast, but they're very proud about what they do. I know a couple of them that sell feet pics all day, and they're like, oh no, feet pics pay my water bill. They pay my freaking gas bill. They pay. And my husband knows, and he loves it. And I'm like, freaking more power to you, you know? But if somebody messaged me for pictures of my feet, I'd be like, I'm sorry, sir, what?
The weirdest freaking thing. It's the weirdest thing. I hate feet. Four feet were a thing. And so those are the ones that just weird me out just a smidge. Then I get all paranoid, because usually I'm on my feet looking down at a piece. And now I'm like, cut my feet out, because this is going to be worth $1 million. I'll sell it all later.
I eventually had to block this guy because every time my checkered Vans were in any kind of video, I see you're wearing those Vans again. Like, I would get that comment. I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, this is uncomfortable.
Checkered Vans.
I haven't gotten the shoe thing. I've gotten twice.
You want to pet me like that, dog?
No, the panty thing.
Oh. What?
They want, like,
panty pics?
They want, no, they word. Want,
born, born,
no, they born. Want to own my panties. Oh,
I hate that. Thing.
And I'm like, but that was actually before I had substantial
growth. Could have been your
water bill. Which is surprising. Could have been my water bill, but, you know, I'm going to pay my water bill with signs. Not panties.
With
no,
my
no.
arts.
Just, those things I can't get past. And then the feet thing, like Terry said, I'm not in, I can't even understand the foot thing. So I'm just like, oh, it's weird. But other than that, it's like once a year I'll hear from a weirdo. And like, I'm very fortunate because I see a lot of close friend stories where people get shit like constantly. And I'm so grateful.
Me too. I'm grateful.
That's not happening here.
I've only gotten the weird foot thing. That's it.
I wonder if it's a vibe. Like, do we, because honestly, like, it doesn't happen to me often. I think people are surprised that it, like, stuff doesn't slip in, but to my DMs. But I think that it's one of those things that, like, maybe there's a vibe that's just, like, don't fuck with me in that way. You
that's
know?
What I think with me. I think people are like, oh, she's going to go off on me, you know? Like, it's, mm-hmm. same with you. I think people are just like, she's kind of unfuckwithable. Like, you too, Tiff. Like, there might be a couple that are bold here and there, but they're like keyboard warriors. They're not really thinking they're going to succeed.
But what's weird, like what I've noticed, because every so often I'll look at like the demographics of people who follow me. That is the weirdest stuff ever, because I'm thinking they're going to be like California, West Coast, United mm-hmm. States, but 50% of my followers are like not in the United States. And I'm just like, what am I doing there?
Like, I think like 30-40% of mine are in Canada too.
Like geographically, I still feel like that makes sense. There's just a couple of like ones where I have like maybe 15% of my following. And I'm like,
my second highest is Australia and then Japan, which is so strange to me, but those are my high ones. I think my demographic's odd, and it used to be primarily women, and you know, it's grown into primarily men, and that it frustrates me, but it doesn't frustrate me because the numbers translate.
Mine used to be 50-50. I actually, as we're talking, I went and just peeked. It's now like 35% women, 64% men. Yeah.
Mine is, I think, close to 70% men or 60% men, something like that. But it's shifted, and it bothered me when I noticed it, but then I took a look at it one day and just like kind of sat back and thought about it. And it's like, with my growth, the volume has translated. Like it's not just like, hey, do you have an OnlyFans? Like weird stuff like that. So it's okay. I'm okay with it, but it kind of disappointed me. I'm like, God, what do I got to have a baby or something to target the mom market for my age group?
Morgan, think, you're like, a very attractive woman, and you're going to catch a lot of men with those.
We videos. All are. Have you looked in the mirror and seen?
Well, this
dimples?
Is a very attractive group of women. I did notice that. I don't know Terry that well to where I'd be flirting with her all day, but I have been looking. All right. I have been looking over there right now.
Terry, it's all right. Tiff and I flirt all day.
Yeah.
All day. I wish I could. Like, what sucks is like lately I've been so sucked into work. So you would text me. And I would have no chance to respond. And I feel like by the time I respond, the moment's already passed.
I will never text you back and be like, I'm over this flirt.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry for the delay. No, it's anticipation. What else were you going to say? She plays the long game.
Yeah, there you go.
Terry's playing hard to get.
There's a 6-hour delay in this, but it's great.
I think that's been like the weirdest, coolest like thing. Just, I don't try to like, again, look at my numbers and use my numbers as a goalpost for me, but I always am just intrigued by like, who follows me? Who wants to know the hot mess that I am today? Yeah. It's weird because again, it was like 80% women. And again, like I'm a chameleon. Like I can talk like a dude. I can I can act super prim and proper. And it's not because I'm trying to, that's just because I know how to switch.
Really, you can read the room. There's nothing wrong with reading the room at all. No, I do the same thing you do. I never check my views. I never check anything. Sometimes I check my bonuses, like at the end of the month, just to see, but that's it. Other than that, I check the demographic, like you said, because I'm curious. I'm really genuinely curious. Like,
it's fun. What seeing country where everybody is following me the
most?
Yeah.
But like sometimes I'm like, I watched a lot of SVU back in the day. And I'm like, one day somebody is going to hit me up from like at the Target parking lot when I least expect it. So I think that like, there's just that there'll always be some tiny tinge. I'm already over the like meeting people that you meet on the internet piece. Like I'm over that. But I think that there is every so often, I'm like, who's going to be the creeper? Who's going to be?
So I'm in a small town, very small town. Like even though I'm in Los Angeles, San Pedro's just a little peninsula. And so small businesses are huge here. Nothing to do with my Instagram growth. It's just, I've exposed myself here a lot for business, and it's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable when it's store with my broken flip flop and somebody be like, "Hey, Morgan." And I'm all, "Hey." So sorry, I didn't realize I would see you today. Sorry, I smell. Like, it's like a very
odd. Real life Morgan.
Yeah, I'm sitting there like brushing my eyebrow with my finger, like, "Hi."
Like there's somebody who I met and I was like, "Oh man, were you just totally disappointed?" Like, were you just disappointed in what just happened? Because it was just one of those like, "Hey, oh, I follow you on Seven Trees. I think that you're awesome." I'm like, "Thanks, okay, bye." Like, I don't know what to do with that. I just am a very, like, I'm a deflector. Like I'll say thank you. And like, I don't know where to go when the attention and the spotlight is on me. I'm still, I am very shy. And so I think that like, when it goes back to the whole market thing, they're like, "Oh, I've been following you." I don't know why you're supposed to be like a business owner. You're supposed to be proud of your business. You're supposed to be proud and talk about it all the time. I'm like, no, I like to just cower inward. And like,
that happened to me at a Trader Joe's recently. This girl, like out of nowhere, I was just walking and I'm like in my work boots and I covered in paint. It was a shameful outfit. I'm walking through the store.
I'm sure you were still hot, Morgan.
She turns, "Morgan, Captain's Planks." And I'm like, not only does she come up to me and say she follows me, but she tells me that she ordered hair sticks weeks ago. And I'm like, "Weeks? They haven't shipped?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's been a few weeks." And I'm all, "I'm gonna work on that when I get home."
What was your name again?
I'll find you later.
So I sent her, you know, extras and stuff, but it was like the most mortifying experience because I've talked to people, but it's just they follow me, but it was never like at pop-ups and stuff. "Oh my gosh, I didn't know you'd be here. I follow you," or whatever. Like, simple. "Nope, get my groceries." And she's like, "I ordered hair 6 weeks ago." And that instantly made me like,
"Well, wait till you start going to maker events, because you're going to get that the whole time you're there, is people coming up to you that follow you that you may not know." And it is weird at first. So just be ready.
That's what I think about WorkbenchCon. That's why I'm so scared to go. I'm like, I don't know if I could handle that social interaction.
To hold your hand.
You would have to put me in a baby carrier on your husband's chest or your chest. Somebody would have to have the responsibility of carrying me in a carrier like a starfish.
Mike, you're here to run errands and also hold Morgan.
You need to hold Morgan in this giant baby carrier.
As much as I want to hold her, I have to do some recording.
Yeah, literally.
What if you forget somebody's name? Like, I know people by their handles. I don't necessarily remember everyone's name all the time.
They have badges on at WorkbenchCon. So it has their name and their company name.
I don't read things always. There's that.
It's hard at Makers Camp because nobody has their name. So unless they have like gear with their logo on it, you've got no fucking idea. You got to wait for them to hand you a sticker. You're like, "Give me a sticker, give me a sticker, give me a sticker, kiss me a sticker."
Maker Camp is the most enticing to me. That sounds the most fun. But the Workbench Con, a lot of people have asked me about. Another maker asked me if I'd get a hotel with her. And I'm like, I don't know if I can go. I want to go so bad. I think
Patrick
it'd be an
and
awesome
Carlina
opportunity.
Are going to be there.
I know.
They're going to be teaching.
I know. I want to wrap my arms around those two so bad. I want to give Carlina, like, I want to give Carlina an actual concussion with how hard I ram my body into her when I hug her. I want us both to pass out and Patrick to have to, like, carry us on each side of him in a baby carrier.
Is everybody in a baby carrier? Like, you're in a baby carrier, Carlina's in a baby carrier.
Transport me when I'm anxious. You just,
I hope there's some filter carrier later that has like a baby carrier that Morgan can put herself in, because that would be fucking hilarious.
And Patrick and your husband will hold them far away just enough so they're like this, trying to hug each other, but they can't reach. That's magic.
I'll just hug everyone around me. Fine.
I have to say, like, I feel you on that. Like, I love the idea of these things, but I think that's when, like, the introvert hardcore comes out of, like, I know if I were to go, I would love it. Like, there's no doubt I would love it after. But the lead up going there is just so much, and it's so overwhelming that, like, I don't know. That's
Harry, we had a conversation, like, I don't know, maybe over a year ago, like, it's been a while, but we had a conversation where you were traveling for Netflix, you were doing work, like full-time work stuff, and I was like, oh my god, you're so close to me, let's meet up. And I remember you were like, okay, but I'll be really awkward in person. And I was like, oh, this could be my soul friend, like, we could. And I think I even said to you, like, it's okay, we could just not talk and be weird together.
I remember that, totally.
I hope you enjoyed the show. They're going to be a little bit more irregular. They're going to come whenever they come. Right now, I'm going to try doing them weekly, but if I don't, I'm not going to beat myself up for it, because I've got a lot of things going on and there's plenty of me to go around. So if you miss me, you're probably seeing me on WorkbenchCon doing lives right now, and Sabretooth. The podcast Carver Conversations is now a new live show. We figured it'd be a lot more fun to interact with folks in that kind of a format, let them show off all their tools and live examples of what they've done with those tools. So a little bit different format, but a lot of fun. And then for WorkbenchCon, as it's gearing up, we're doing a lot of fun contests. We just ended a contest for Total Boat, which they gave $500 worth of products for. And today, actually, as I'm editing, I just kicked off a brand new giveaway for Wall Control and a free WorkbenchCon ticket. So go check those out. Get your entries in. The Wall Control one is a lot of fun because it's just a reel or a video that's under like 5 minutes. We don't want a very, very long. We don't need a YouTube video, but just give us a video of what you have for a shop or space that you work in, and how it could be better if you had Wall Control. Like, what are your plans to use it? They like creative ideas. You know, it's gonna be something that we're gonna sit down and have a panel judging them. And we're gonna give one person $500 worth of Wall Control, and the other person is gonna get a free ticket to WorkbenchCon. So there's gonna be two winners. So check out those really cool contests. Make sure you're following them. Make sure you're following Terry and Morgan and myself, so that way you can see what we're up to next. Otherwise, have a great day, and thank you for continuing to listen and support. Oh, and another thing, I did shut off my Patreon. I think I'm just gonna go to the Instagram subscriptions, maybe. I don't know yet, but I shut it off for the month of November because I hadn't released anything in a month, and I just, you know, I'm an honest little girl, and I don't want people to get charged if I'm not producing content. So I'm thinking about that, but I think it just might be subscriptions. So stay tuned for that. If I do subscriptions, it's going to be a lot of things where I am doing tutorials as well and sharing anything that I deemed inappropriate to leave out in the world. Although this episode is very free and very random, and don't judge us for our conversations. These are just the things that you get into, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate to. Anyways, I'm babbling, and you have a great day.